I'm so excited about my next guest. There's a few authors I like. There's a few therapists I like that I feel like are real winners, real representatives of for who what I kind of believe. That's why I have them on my show over and over again. Tom Gagliano is one of those people. Hi, Tom. Welcome back.
Thanks, Jenny. Thanks for having me.
Sorry I've got the flu, but I'm grateful that there's a long distance between us so you don't get this awful thing.
Oh, jeez. I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you. I did. I saw you coming on the schedule, so I said, I've got to get better for Tom. Got to get better. You know why? Because so many people need the help, especially being around Valentine's Day. I want to plug your books because they're life-changing. Tom is the author of How to End Negative Self-Talk and Take Your Life to a New Level. Also, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. I mean, also online, when you watch his videos, they're life-changing. I've sent them to so many of my friends, thomasgagliano.com. So let's get into it, Tom. It's Valentine's Day, and we're all looking for ways to make our love life, you know, as hot as possible. You know, how can we talk about intimacy as being something that's actually hot?
Well,
Just about sex, but real intimacy.
You know, it's funny, Jenny. I have clients that come to me and I ask them, what do you want in your life? And it's easy. I want more sex with my wife. I want to go out more with my husband, make a priority. This wants is so easy. Then I ask them this question, what do you need to do to get the wants? And I have silence.
Wow.
Silence. Because, you know, we know what we want, but I think the biggest problem with intimacy is people do not know how to communicate. And they want to be a priority to their significant other. They want all that, but they don't know how to share their feelings in a way where they allow the other person to feel like they're important, they're valued. And when we do that, when we learn how to communicate in a way where the message is, I want to get close to you. I love you. Not, I'm trying to get you to do what I want you to do.
Right.
It makes a world of difference.
You know, and I want to say that usually we learn that in life as we get older in age.
Yes.
I recall, you know, being in relationships and I would give everything to my partner, and I meant everything. I'd sacrifice my happiness, what I wanted. So I would make them, you know, the bathtub with the roses and the flowers and the candles. And I realized I was doing everything that I wanted them to do for me. I was acting out what I wanted instead of saying, I want this.
Well, you know, relationships are like anything else in life. If you work it, it'll work. I've had clients come to me that had such collateral damage you wouldn't believe. But you know what they had? The willingness to want to work on their relationship. And when they have that, miracles occur. And I've had other clients that just want to be victims, just want to sit back and say, it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. And if you do that, if you become a victim to your partner and they become a victim to you, there's nobody listening. Nobody is really hearing the other person's concerns.
No matter what, it takes two, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's where I think people get confused. It's like, wait a minute, how can you say that I'm at fault here when he's the one that's like that comes home drunk every night?
Right. Well, you know what? Like I said before, you know, we know what we want, but what do we need to do to get what we want? And we all want the same thing. Don't we all want to feel respected, valued, loved? And we have all stories that we talk about that put us in the victim seat. But at the end of the day, we want the same thing. We just don't know how to communicate that to each other.
So true. Seven ways to enhance the intimacy in your life. Let's go through them.
Sure.
Number one, creating an environment for safe communications. I like this.
Well, you know what? The measure of a relationship is not when things are going great. It's when there's struggles. How does your partner show up when you're struggling? Does he make you feel better? Does she make you feel more important? Does she help you go through that? Or does she know what triggers are going to make you feel worse because she's trying to get you or he's trying to get you back because they feel that you're not making them important? So safe, what I talk about is we know what triggers them. Take it out of the book. You know, if you're going out with somebody that says to you, I'm not safe when you text your old boyfriend or girlfriend, I'd rather you not do that. Well, you have a choice. Can you say to them, you know what? You're my priority. I'm not doing nothing wrong, but I'm not going to text them because you're my priority. Or do I say, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do. Safety is the key.
Oh, God, it's so well said. The way you know, I feel like sometimes people have trouble just finding the accurate words.
They do. It's like I say to my wife, I could validate any feeling she has. It doesn't mean I agree with her. If she's sad, I could say, you know, hon, I see you're sad. I'm sorry you're sad. It doesn't mean I did something wrong. It doesn't mean I agree with her. But when she feels that I understand how she feels, we're getting close. If
Absolutely.
I go in and just want to fix things, my wife's told me a million times, hey, Tom, you know what? I don't need you to fix this. I need you to listen.
Right.
Give them what they want. Not what you want.
So true. And you know, something that really has helped me is going, okay, you know what? I'm hearing and understanding your reality. It doesn't match mine, but now I'm realizing
Absolutely.
This belongs to you. And
I have
so much more compassion when I come from that place.
And Jenny, you know what? I always say all the time, we're in a relationship, not with our partner, but with their childhood messages as well. Mm-hmm. We all grow up from different lives. What triggers us may not trigger them. What triggers them may not trigger us. We got to understand that that's okay.
Yes, exactly. I love this. Relationships, this is number two. Relationships are not always 50-50. Explain that.
We all have strengths and weaknesses. All of us do. And if I go into every situation expecting to get out what I put in, I'm setting myself up for resentments. My wife handles certain things better than me. I handle certain things better than her. That's okay. We don't have to always go in saying, I'm going to get out what I put in. Now, it shouldn't be one person is always the one putting in. Like you said in your relationship where you were always the doer, that's not okay. But it's okay to rely on our partner and say, you know what? You're better with the kids with discipline. That's all right. I need your strength. I'm better with my family matters than you are. That's okay. We don't have to always think it's 50-50.
I love that. You know, Donnie and I, when we've, you know, I've always been a big believer in therapy. Even when we don't need it, I got us into it right in the beginning of our relationship so we can have tools formed.
Good for you.
And it's been, of course, wonderful because we learned how to communicate with each other. And one thing the therapist said, which was so valuable, which is like, you guys need to learn how to lean on each other.
Yeah.
And on your strengths. And
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, you're right. I've had no one to lean on.
Well, we go to.
I wouldn't allow it.
Yeah. We go to number three, version of intimacy we saw as children. Did I see my parents leaning on each other? Did I see my parents supporting each other? What was the version I received? Were they able to help each other and get resolution when they had conflict? Or was conflict terrible? Dad ran out. Mom ran out. Mom shut down. Dad got angry. What is the version we saw? Because I'm telling you, Jenny, it's going to show up in your adult life without a doubt.
It's absolutely, there's no truer words than that sentence right there.
It's going to show up.
It's going to show up. So for anyone that's wondering what he means, it means in your childhood, whatever you were role modeled, you know, your parents, whatever they did, you're basically projecting it into your relationships now, if you didn't do the work.
I'll give you a quick story and a good example. You know, when I was a kid, if I cried or showed feelings, my dad called me his little girl. Okay, very devastating. So what did that tell me as an adult? It told me, don't you dare share feelings with people close to you.
Right.
You're going to get hurt. Now, I remember about 15 years ago, I had this situation real quick with my son. We had to put our dog to sleep. My son was very distraught. He loved this dog. I remember walking in his room, and I remember putting his arms around me, and I remember putting his head on my shoulder, and I allowed him to cry. I allowed him to cry on his father's shoulders. And what I gave him was permission to do that. It was a safe place, a place I never had as a kid, but a place I was giving my kids.
What
my
a gift.
Yeah, and my kids know they can make mistakes. It doesn't mean they are a mistake. All of these things show up in your adult life with your significant other. If you weren't allowed to make mistakes as a child, when your significant other says or does something, even somewhat critical, you're going to go into being that 10-year-old little kid feeling like you're a mistake, like you're a failure, and you're going to shut down. Your spouse is never going to know what's going on here. I don't understand. Why aren't you talking to me? All of these things in childhood show up in your adult life.
Oh, my God. It's so true. And this is why I love all your books. Number four, be aware of the time traveling process.
Kind
of same thing.
Yeah, we just hit that. You know, if I was if my parents very critical of me in childhood, if I wasn't allowed to fail at times, when my wife comes to me with constructive criticism, when she wants to help me, she's not going to understand, why aren't you talking to me? Why did you shut down? What's going on? Because I'm becoming 10 again. I'm making my wife a voice from somebody in my past. My filter is all screwed up.
Totally.
And all of a sudden, I'm 10 years old in self-survival mode, trying to protect myself.
Absolutely. And you can even, I do this with like former relationships. I've noticed myself, not only childhood, but mainly childhood. But, you know, I had a pretty bad abusive relationship. And I noticed that in relationships that followed, I projected things into, you know, I time traveled.
Exactly.
Basically, like you said.
What time traveling is really we bring our past into it, and we make other people those that were in our past. And, you know, a lot of times in our relationships, when we give more than we receive, it's really coming from childhood, too. There's something in childhood that's telling me that if I want to be safe in my childhood, I better make other people happy or I'm not going to be safe. Again, a distorted message that has to be processed and worked through.
Amen. I love this one. Do you want to be right or do you want to be close?
You know, how many times are we in a relationship or talking to somebody we care about and we're trying to tell them we're right? We're trying to show them the right way. And many times, if we leave that alone and listen and say, you know what, I'm sad that you're struggling. You know, we may know the right thing to do. It's the same thing with my kids. When my kids are struggling, I don't rush in and tell them what they should do or shouldn't do. I need to stop. Think about what I wanted to hear from my parents at that age. Let that compassion guide you. Same thing with our spouse, our significant other. What do you think you would want to hear when you're struggling? Do you always want to hear that you're wrong and they're right? Is that what you always want to hear? Or did you want to hear compassion? And do you want to hear empathy? And do you want to hear that, hey, I'm in this with you? Which one?
Exactly. It's no fun. Someone giving you everything you want, let me tell you. Help your partner without expecting a cookie in return.
You know the funny thing, Jenny? Most of us will get what we want when we do selfless things. We think we have to control them, but you know what? When I do things for my wife, and maybe she doesn't even notice it at times, I'll clean the dishwasher, I'll take the kids out, I'll do whatever. She may not even notice it at times, but if I learn to do things without the cookie in return, without the expectation in return, it's amazing how the relationship will change on its own. You don't have to control it. It'll change on its own, and it'll make it a more loving, compassionate relationship.
And that goes true for every relationship with your family members.
Yes.
I've noticed when I expanded it outside to everybody, I'm not disappointed anymore. Because
Everything I'm doing
is because I want to do it.
Exactly.
And this way I don't need anyone to congratulate me or anyone to say thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm doing it because I want to. And what a freeing concept that is.
Yeah, and a kick in the head is we end up getting what we want better that way.
Totally.
And we don't mean it to be, but that's the way it happens.
It's the right way. This is the last one. Be aware of your inner critic.
Well, look, I grew up in a tough childhood, recovering addict. My dad was never around for me, and I felt like I was the reason for that. I was unlovable. I was no good. And if I have an inner critic sabotaging every part of my life, how am I going to show up when I grow older when it comes to love? Am I going to sabotage my own happiness because I'm afraid of intimacy, because I'm afraid of closeness? You betcha. So I got to be aware of my inner critic and be mindful of the messages I'm handing to my children. Maybe I can't give them what I don't have, and be mindful of the messages I'm handing my partner, because I may be sabotaging intimacy and not even know it.
God, I love everything you have to say. Tom Gagliano, we've got a caller, Samantha, on the line. Samantha, it's Jenny and Tom.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi.
Good. What's your question, hon?
Okay, I'm a little bit nervous just because this is still so fresh within my marriage right now. I've been with my husband for going on 9 years. And he had a pretty traumatic upbringing, and is slowly telling me more and more about kind of what he experienced as a little boy with abuse and neglect and, just a hard childhood. And every year it seems like there is an outbreak from him of like something little will happen and he just blows up and kind of loses control and, it almost seems like he like blacks out and doesn't really know what he's doing and what he's saying. And it's to the point now where it's kind of tearing apart our marriage and really hurting the love that I have for him. And I just don't know what to do at this point because I've asked him to go see someone and he just doesn't feel like he wants to go down that path of bringing up everything that happened and experiencing those emotions again. And he feels like it'll make him worse. So what do I do as a spouse who I'm now pregnant with our second baby? And
wow.
I just can't keep going through
We get it.
I think,
I think a lot of us can are nodding, going, we've been there and we understand. So, Tom, what advice do you have for her?
Well, first of all, always remember something. People get help when they want to, not when they need to. Your husband obviously needs to, but he doesn't want it yet. The only thing that could, you have to work on yourself. You know, you are the most important relationship in your life, not him. And you need to focus in on doing what's best for you. And really, you know, sometimes it's sad to say, but people need devastations to have miracles. And maybe when he's hurting enough, he will go for help. I think he does need help. I think help will help him tremendously. But you know what? It's not your job to get him there unless it gets to the point that you give him ultimatums. Unless you say, listen, if you don't get help, I don't know if I continue here. I'm not telling you to do that, please. I'm telling you that that's sometimes the only way somebody will get help. But again, if people need help, they usually don't do it unless they want to. So I suggest to you to get a support group, surround yourself with supportive people, friends, family, maybe you go to a therapist and help others do for you what you are having a problem doing for yourself right now. You got to do a lot of letting go, and I really pray for you and I hope the best for you, but there's not a lot you can do right now.
Samantha, my thoughts are with you, girl. I know exactly what that feels like. And I think what Tom said, I want to billboard one more time. Get yourself a therapist also. I can't tell you how much when I thought somebody else needed change, I was the one that was needing it.
You got it, Jenny.
Thank you so much, Tom Gagliano. ThomasGagliano.com for more information, 7 ways to enhance the intimacy in your life. I'm putting this on my refrigerator. I hope you guys do. I'm going to tweet out your books. Thank you so much, Tom.
Jenny, nice seeing you.
You too. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.